part-time fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
I'm not doing part.
Fanboy.com. I'm here.
Okay, there we go.
All right.
Can you hear me? Hey, Christian, what's up?
What's up, Christian?
Not much.
It's going to be that.
You know, we have a lot more in common. I'm also quite a horn dog myself.
Okay. Yeah. Is that how we're going to start off? Like, I haven't heard for years and years and years during grade school.
Yeah, that's because, I was going to say we're not children anymore. I am.
Well, some of us are at heart. We still love comics, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, let's begin, shall we? Shall we begin the interview?
Sure. Yeah, cool.
Cool. Well, welcome to this is the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. My name is Christian Horn, as always, and I have two very special guests. I have Mike and Christian Robinson on the line, correct? Like the Robinsons from Lost in Space. Is that, am I right there?
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. So this is how I explain it to everybody. It's actually Robison.
Oh, Robison.
Spelled like Rob is on.
Gotcha. So. Robison. Okay. That's my mistake. Well, I'm famous for screwing up last names on this podcast, so I apologize. I should have done
We're
my
reading. We're famous for having a stupid last name.
No, that's great. Let's get to it. I mean, the reason that I have you gentlemen on is because I like to, begin right away with the point of the podcast, is that you have a Kickstarter going on right now, correct?
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, you go for it, Chris.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah. Our Kickstarter started December 1st, and in only 3 days, it was fully funded. We our pledge drive was up to $1,000, and we have 15 more days to keep this thing going. And our next goal is 2,000. We can't do push goals on Kickstarter because it is a quick starter.
Uh-huh.
So we are gonna do something on our own, on our Facebook, Mayors of Dorkville, something a little special, kind of in the realm for the new push goal.
Gotcha. So the Kickstarter, if anyone wants to know, it's called Champion, not The Champion or We Are the Champions. It's just Champion, correct?
Yep, it's Champion issue 0.5.
And why 0.5?
So the idea is that this is kind of a pilot issue for what we want to turn into a larger graphic novel. It's kind of a self-contained story, so it works as one issue, but then it can launch something really awesome.
Gotcha. And what is? Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to add. And we were talking about it. We were thinking of just doing issues of the graphic novel instead of, creating one graphic novel in and of itself. But we were thinking, no, we can't just call it issue zero or issue one. We got to do something different, So that's when we landed on issue 0.5. just to kind of boot the whole, we have a whole universe planned for this thing. Tons of characters that Mike and I have just kind of tossed around the brain pan for about 10 years now.
Yeah.
And we're finally pulling the trigger this year of all years. I don't know how it worked out that way, but it did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's looking pretty good for you because, as you said, you've already funded, but, people should go to Kickstarter, look up Champion, and still throw money at it because more money is good, right?
More money, more power.
Yeah, and here's the thing is this we're trying to build a community, and so we're not trying to fund ourselves. We're funding the town of Dorkville. We're funding its citizens for the future of cutting edge content and comic books. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're looking towards.
Yeah. And so, well, let's begin because your website is mayorsofdorkville.com, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, what is Dorkville? I mean, what is, because it sounds, I mean, to me, it was a little bit like, oh, is Dorkville like a comic book series? Is Dorkville a state of being? What are we talking about here? Because the book is called Champion, but you guys are mayors of Dorkville. So what is that?
So Dorkville is, I like that. A state of being is a good way to put it.
Uh-huh.
Dorkville is no matter where you are in the world, Dorkville is a citizenship beyond physical realm.
That it's you can inside belong. All of us, Christian.
It's inside all of us, yeah. So the idea really in practical terms is to be an imprint for comics that we're going to be able to roll out in the future. Champion issue 0.5 is actually just the first of a lot of things that we're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then also kind of an umbrella also for videos that we put on YouTube and put on our Facebook and Instagram. It's just, we want to build a community. We want to build a fan base around these amazing stories that we have, but we also want to celebrate, you know, I mean, we're in our mid 30s and we still like comic books. And somehow we landed both of us really hot wives. We have functioning, we have managed to function in adulthood, still mm-hmm. having this dorky childlike mind. And we want to celebrate that. We want to get people to go, you know, it's okay to be a dork. They, you know, they called us a dork, you know, but what they didn't realize is that they were pinning a badge of honor on our chest, because being a dork is awesome. I mean, it's just too boring not being a 30-year-old, you know, mid-30s dork.
Sure, sure. Well, you're talking to the converted here, for yeah. sure. No, I mean, that's awesome, and it's great, but don't you feel that we've sort of reached a point in society where the dork, the nerd, the geek is sort of, has already been embraced, is already part of, like, the mainstream fabric of the universe?
I think so. The problem is that nobody's branded it yet.
Uh-huh.
So we're jumping on that. I mean, you know, you got the MCU, you got the DCEU, and whatever is happening with that, I don't even know. you know, you got WB series, you got, you know, everything, the Boys on HBO Max, and it is mainstream, but nobody's, you know, nobody's really called it what it is. And it really is just this, you know, excitement over dork culture,
mm-hmm.
and everything that entails, whether that's one of the things that I'm most proud of as a dork is that my favorite movie in the world is The Last Starfighter.
Uh-huh.
And I want to find more Last Starfighter fans. I want to find more people who think that Lance Guest should have been Mel Gibson.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that. I mean, well, maybe not Mel Gibson, because we all know how he turned out, but
yeah,
you know, maybe somebody
can
else.
You imagine, though,
pick a different actor from the 80s.
The Road Warrior, that would have been sick.
Yeah, but so wait, let's go back a little bit. Let's talk about Champion. What is Champion, the Kickstarter that you guys are running right now? What is that about? Like, what is the basic plot?
Chris, you take that.
You know, dude, you were on a roll, bro. I feel like I'm already listening to the podcast. Okay, so Champion, it all starts off just a millennial family. Our main character, his name is Ben,
mm-hmm.
and he's finally hit his stride in life.
Okay.
He's doing well. Him and his wife are running a family-owned business, and they got a four-year-old son, and
mm-hmm.
And this all is taking place in a modern America with you know, all of its political issues and dilemmas that social dilemmas that are going on right now, and just how, you know, it's politically charged and just waiting for a trigger to be pulled if it hasn't been pulled already. But if you keep your head down and you just focus on yourself, focus on your family, you can ignore it, and you can develop a pretty good life for yourself. But one day he decides to have a date with his son, take him to a carnival, and his kid gets napped by some human traffickers, and he does what any father, I feel, in their right mind should do to get his son back. But he finds himself very unequipped for the task. And fortunately, he gets visited by a mysterious being to help him out with that.
Oh, nice. That sounds cool. That sounds like a very cool, direct, sort of like superhero plot.
Minus the teenage angst, you know, we're going for midlife angst on this one.
Well, you guys are not midlife yet. I'm midlife. You are not midlife.
we're approaching that. Like, yeah, every morning when I wake up, I feel like I've broken the barrier.
I sound like a freaking trap song when I stretch in the morning, just like all my bones creaking and cracking.
Well, maybe try some yoga. I don't know. It's interesting because in some of your emails going back and forth or messages on Facebook, because that's how you reached out to me, you know, there was very much a sort of feeling that you pushed through of like this having been a dream of yours for a long time, and you guys having, you know, wanting to do this for a very long time, and you were going to fulfill your dream by like kicking this off on Kickstarter, you know, which is what drew me towards it. And you had a YouTube video that was like very fun and stuff. Like you mentioned earlier, this sounds like something that you've been sitting on for a long time. And your brothers, I'm assuming you both liked comic books growing up. What was it besides the oncoming midlife crisis that sort of like made you go, we're finally going to do this?
You want to take that one, dude?
Well, shoot, man. I've been running that same question through my head. And I've been talking to a lot of people campaigning for this Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And I just, what I always tell them is just, you know, when something happens and you don't really know why it's going through, I think like when some 600-pound fat guy decides to become shredded, like what changed?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. You know, yeah. I mean, I've gotten in shape and I've gotten fat. And I'm currently fat, but I hope something will change and I'll get back in shape. Yeah. I don't know what it is that decides to pull the trigger, like something that changes in your brain, but it's just all of a sudden we just started working.
Yeah.
You know, it helped that I got laid off.
Okay.
It's the winter season. I work for a construction company and I typically have small projects to do during the winter, but this summer it's just been really bad. Don't be, because I'm drawing like crazy right now and I'm living my best COVID life, you know. and it's been great, man. I've always wanted to draw full time.
I'm
just not getting paid for it. Okay, there are a few things that the stars have to align. Mike mentioned we have awesome wives. Well, he said hot wives. But more than that, our wives are awesome.
Yeah.
They are so supportive. My wife, who our roles have reversed. She went out and got a job so I can do this.
Nice.
I was applying to a bunch of different places. I was going to, you know, kiss my old job goodbye and start working somewhere else. And she said, you know what, Christian, I know this means a lot to you. She went out and got a job and she's providing for us right now. Our roles have reversed and it's very awkward. And I'm trying to keep up with my son while I'm trying to draw at the same time.
Yeah.
And then Mike, he just started setting dates for everything. And I'm like, oh crap. Well, now I have to do it.
Yeah.
You know? I booked a Comic-Con before he had one page.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great. That's ambitious.
So, yeah. I mean, if it wasn't for Mike saying, I've had enough of being like Mike and Christian, you know, let's be like Mike and Christian, but better, you know, and he just started setting dates. He just started taking care of all of our social medias to free me up to take care of all of this drawing. He wrote me the script and I got on it, and he's taking care of the business side and the social media side of it. And it's so far, it seems to be working out pretty well, and we're mega encouraged. And here we are on your show.
No, that's awesome, because it sounds like you took a negative, much like superheroes do in their origin stories, and you turned it around into a positive to push yourselves through to achieve something that you've always wanted to achieve.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. We're great, aren't we? Yeah, I am like Superman.
Well, I mean, maybe Peter Parker, you know, I mean, Superman.
Hey,
was...
I'll take it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that is to me the part of the story that seems to be the thing that you should be focusing on, because I mean, that speaks to sort of what superheroes and, you know, fantasy comics and fantasy stories have been about like this whole time is, you know, starting from a negative place or a low place and building up to something positive, which you guys are doing.
Yeah. And even the superhero genre itself started, you know, in a kind of a cultural low point, with Superman, the creators of Superman being, immigrants, Jews who didn't at that time have a homeland, and they had this kind of culture of, wanting an identity, wanting a place. And they created Superman as kind of like this beacon of hope, this modern day Moses. And I think, same with Stan Lee, in the late 60s and early 70s, deciding I want to place superheroes in a real environment. I want superheroes to be in the middle of the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
And whenever there's a big cultural shift, I think people are looking for emblems to help process that and to draw us together. And I think it's a perfect time for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's great. I mean, there's something to be said for sure about that. And that's, very inspiring that you both sort of embrace the moment instead of sort of like sinking into, something bad or negative. But had you always wanted to be writers and artists like growing up? I mean, your brothers, you grew up together, correct? I mean, this isn't like sort of like a childhood of divorce where one went with one and the other one, or you got separated at some point. You grew up together, correct?
Yeah, we found each other on findmylonglostbrother.com.
Hey man, yeah, it's happened.
I was pretty pissed when he told me, yeah, mom's dead. It's been like 10 years.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. She never loved you, like that sort of thing.
Yeah. And just really driving the knife in my back, it hurt. But hey, we got over it. That's what forgiveness is all about, right?
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
No.
It sucked because Chris is like the Arnold Schwarzenegger and I'm the Danny DeVito in the situation.
A lie. You're lying.
Julius, I'm your brother. Chris has always been an excellent artist. And even going through my garage, I find pictures that Chris drew, back in the 90s growing up. And you look at his Facebook profile and you can see this progression of talent. It's just absolutely amazing. I've always wanted to be a writer, and
you know, in my teenage years and into my early 20s, I really tried, but, you know, I have tons and tons of short stories and stuff that, that are just sitting inside of my, my desk. But, you know, I got a bunch of rejection letters. And then at some point I decided, well, gosh, I got to pay all these bills. You know, I got married and had kids and eventually just started working factory jobs and kind of gave up the dream. But every time Chris and I got together, he's like, no, man, you write a story, I'll draw it. You write a story, I'll draw it. So we'd start, you know, and then life would get in the way and it'd kind of putter out. And then we'd start and life would get in the way and it'd putter out.
Yeah.
But then something happened this year where it's like, you know, once we kind of gave up the idea of trying to be, you know, the next big thing, you know, like trying to work through, like, our lives suck and we want to make it better. And so we're going to try to do this thing and change our lives forever. Once we settled and like Ben in the story kind of hit his stride, once we hit our stride in life, all of a sudden our mindsets changed. And it's like, let's just do this because we want to do it. And if I'm still, you know, working on medical equipment at my job and you're still, you know, forcing a camera through sewage lines at your job, at the end of the day, we've done something, you know, and our already awesome lives are better for it.
Sure. Sure. No, I mean, that's a great way to go about it. I mean, that's fantastic that you sort of have finally sort of reached that point. I mean, it takes a lot of creators a lot to get through. As you know, comics aren't easy to make. So, I mean, congratulations on getting to that point. So I'm assuming that you both read, you said growing up in the 90s, what were you, X-Men fans? Like what were the comics that you guys were reading together or fighting over at home?
So I was the kind of friend who we lived in a small town, Homedale, Idaho. So our comic book store was Paul's Market. I don't even think Paul's is a thing anymore, but yeah, the P was the shopping cart, and then it just had the rest of the regular font. But I would buy a comic book, and then I'd sit there. I would carefully read it and look at it, make sure not to crease the pages. And when I was done with it, put it in its sleeve, and every time I would set it on my my dresser as, you know, just artwork. And friends would come over and I'm like, don't touch it.
You know? I was that
friend. You know, I wasn't the guy who would say, no, you can't ride my bike, you're too fat. You know, I was the fat kid anyway. But you know, but with my comic books, I was very like, don't touch it. And then I would crumble and be like, okay. And then I'd like look over their shoulders and be like, oh my gosh, you just creased it. What are you doing? But it was Jim Lee. All the guys who took off to go to start Image back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, Jim Lee, Todd McFarlane, Rob Liefeld, Wallace Portico, all those guys, man, they were the guys, you know, and Jim Lee working on X-Men, and with Todd McFarlane on Spider-Man, revamping the way you do things at these big corporate companies, you know, and I would love nothing more to be a carbon copy of Todd McFarlane, you know, I mean, I think I'm pretty handsome. I don't want to mess with that, but,
okay. Did we just insult Todd McFarlane's looks on our podcast?
No, he looks great. He's fantastic. But he just in interviews that he's had, I always just admired what he said. He took what they had and he would snap his fingers and say, I introduced sexy to it. And I was like, oh, that's so awesome. His toys look so cool.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, it's been done already. there's no room for new, like, what's new to do, you know? And I still don't know, but
really, so you don't think that comics have sort of like advanced beyond Todd McFarlane? Because I would maybe disagree with that. But
No. I agree. Like that, I'm talking like right now. It has come. Everything under the sun has been done, you know, and it's been done better and better. And my short form way of thinking just goes to a depression like state and goes, well, I'm not as good as these guys. I can't do what they're all working digitally. I got my stupid piece of Bristol board and, you know, a pencil and I'm like, what can I do that's new? It's been done. So
sure.
But then Mike comes along and just encourages me and writes up these great stories. Before we started the interview, I told him a dream that I had, and then he starts talking of going through history and you know, creating this collaboration with the story and his parts of history. And at first I was like, huh, history is great. And then I realized, oh, he's making a story out of it, kind of scatting around a little bit. Like we're always constantly trying to think of new ideas and new things. And Mike's got such a beautiful mind, quote unquote. you pitch him something, like literally, right now, I'm going to put him on the spot. If you can pitch him any idea, and he'll make something out of it, guaranteed.
Sure. You want me to pitch him an idea?
It's your podcast, and invite up to it.
I think I'll keep my ideas for myself, because you guys seem to have plenty of great ones.
trying to pick fruit from your tree. That's
But no, that's great that you guys have each other as a support system. Have you always been like that? It sounds like you've been like really supportive, you know, siblings to one another as you've grown older.
Yeah. Aside from the time I wanted to walk home from school, he pushed me down. I punched him in the face and he kicked me in the back with steel-toed boots. Aside from that, we've always been like best friends.
No, that's not true. That's actually a lie, because there was another time before that we went to the 7-Eleven in Homedale and got Slurpees. And by the time we got home, we had gotten so ticked at each other that we had spit the Slurpees over each other's clothes.
Wow. I totally forgot about that one. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's real. That's a real story.
Yeah, that is a real story. Yep.
That's great.
I think, you know, when you're growing up, you don't realize what a great friend you have in your brother.
Yeah.
And then I feel like when I left the house, and came back home for the first time, I'm like, who is this kick-ass kid that lives in my parents' house?
Yeah.
You know, this you know, chubby little fart that I had grown up with had, you know, now he's a senior in high school and he's like, you know, a state level competitive wrestler and this amazing artist. And it's like, dude, how did I not notice this guy? And then from then on, adulthood, we've been best friends, except for the time that I told him to F off during Christmas and he threw his kid's dirty diaper at the back of my head.
That was a funny experience. We did have to work through some silliness, but
that was actually a bonding moment, I think.
I was going to suggest, since you're a big fan of Todd McFarlane, I don't know if you've seen it on YouTube, like the Sci-Fi Channel does these like little documentaries. I think it's Sci-Fi Wire, and they did one on McFarlane, and it was pretty good. Like it was like a half an hour or something, 20 minutes, maybe a little longer, a little less, but you should check that out. It was pretty well done.
Yeah. You know, I know the exact one that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And just because you want me to watch it again, I absolutely will. Cause I do watch that, you know, every now and again, I'll just go back to, I just want to listen to some Todd right now, you know.
That's great. That's great. No, it's terrific that you look to those guys as an inspiration, because I mean, they did sort of change the industry, and it sounds like with Mayors of Dorkville that you guys want to, is it become a publisher or a hub? Like what is sort of like the long-term like goal with it?
I see it becoming an imprint. Okay. You know, where we have a few different titles under the Mayors of Dorkville banner. As a matter of fact,
sort of like Legend in the 90s or.
Yeah. You know, if you look at the Kickstarter page, we have the cover art for Champion Issue 0.5 there on the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And I had mocked up, you know, the little logo, you know, you got the little corner logo for Marvel or DC Dark Horse Image.
Yeah.
And we had mocked one up, and we actually call it Mod Comics.
Yeah.
And the logo, I think, looks pretty handsome. And that's kind of what we see. I this summer, I'd love to collaborate with another artist while Chris is working with, you know, he's working on Champion, you know, what we tentatively are calling Champion Volume 1. While he's working on that, I've got a short story that I'd love to have another artist illustrate and then also put that out under the Mod Comics banner.
Yeah. 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 Oh, okay. That's great. So you want it to be maybe not necessarily publishers, but sort of like a banner that like other artists or creators put on their comics. And so that it's sort of like, I would say a signal, a flag or something that this is all under the same sort of like level of quality, correct?
Yeah. Yep. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Or sort of like a level of fun, of entertainment, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's...
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's great. I was going to ask, because you have some pages on here on your Kickstarter, and are you're working completely traditionally? Is this all like pen and ink and like watercolors and marker, or like how is this working?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just using what I got, and
sure.
Little backstory. I every now and again I'll get a little frisky, go online and say, hey, I want to do some commissions and just kind of put myself out there. A lot of people have supported my artwork in the past, so I would draw here and there for people and sell some artwork to friends, and I never realized how quickly art supplies runs out when you're actually doing a comic book, and my well is running dry. So, I had to run over to, Michael's the other day and pick up some, Copic markers.
And those are not cheap.
Man, they're not, they're like $8 a marker.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't do this. So, but yeah, you're right. It's all traditional, just, pencils, inks, and Copic markers right now. That's what I've learned with. That's what I know.
Uh-huh.
But I need to reinvent myself. Like you were saying, comic books have undergone a huge growth spurt since Todd McFarlane days of Image Comics and stuff back in the 90s. And I need to learn how to draw digitally, paint digitally, and I've been watching a lot of Procreate videos for the iPad. Because I went ahead and took a leap of faith in hoping that we can overfund, not enough to pay for the iPad, but to take a nice chunk out of it. I had already ordered a iPad Pro, and every now and again, I get excited about it. And then also every now and again, I'm like, oh, crap, can I even pay for this? It's already a done deal. So,
yeah. Oh, OK. Yeah, so you committed to the iPad Pro like right away.
I committed to it. I started doing a lot of research on I've always wanted a digital art pad, but I wanted one that was a standalone iPad and not something that you had to have plugged into a computer, or
gotcha.
Not iPad, sorry, digital art pad. I didn't want the ones where you're drawing down here, but you're looking at a screen. I wanted something that felt real.
Yeah.
I just don't have a powerful enough computer to, I feel like, to run programs such as, you know, Photoshop, Adobe Photoshop and all that stuff without it, you know, jumping or skipping.
Sure.
Getting the standalone that has its own app-based operating system. And surprisingly, for any other artists that are out there, I always thought iPad was like expensive. They're branded. You're paying for the brand. But no, it's actually very well priced. Check out all the other standalone digital art screens out there. They are mega expensive.
Yeah.
But and iPad is as far as the dollar sign goes, it was the way to go for me.
No, so. That's great. That's great that's what you found and that's what worked for you. That's terrific. And you have you started working on Procreate or are you just like holding off or?
No, so this is my big plan. I haven't the iPad's still in the mail. I've just been watching a ton of videos on it, so I could kind of you know, file down that learning curve a little bit.
Sure.
Once it comes in the mail, I'm going to start learning how to paint on it because I know that I don't think I could meet our deadline to get the comic book ready for printing by, when is it? March 1st or February 1st, actually?
March 1st.
March 1st. So I'm going to do all the pencils and inks traditionally.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go to like Kinko's or something, have them scan it in and I'm gonna try and you know, be ready by that time to color, because dude, I can't handle coloring in all those huge spots, man. I'd rather just drag and drop, you know, and then work highlights from there. It takes so much time.
Yeah.
And I am really excited because I've been drawing the same freaking background over and over again.
Yeah.
Trying to do a grid so it looks perfect. And I hope when you do see the comic, you notice little details like that in the backgrounds that, oh, the traditional. Well, he got, this is his first comic. That's his first book. Whoa, he's amazing. I just can't wait to be able to draw one picture and then copy paste. Cause I have a newfound respect for artists who draw comic book artists who draw traditional.
Yeah.
It takes
a
lot of time.
Are you hand lettering as well? Are you doing the lettering and stuff too? I'm looking at the pages and you've got the bubbles and it looks like you've got pencil in there. And are you going to drop the letters in there by hand?
Well, interestingly enough, I just found out today that Procreate got a new update and you can now letter on Procreate, and it's a lot easier than it was in the past. In the past, you would have to do a whole nother layer on a separate Procreate didn't have text on it. So you would have to do a page on a separate program, bring it into Procreate. And I was like, oh crap, I didn't know that. That sucks.
Oh, that's interesting.
But I just learned this morning that they got that update to do text. So I will be doing the lettering on Procreate when the time comes. I just threw in those boxes and what we wanted to say.
Yeah.
Just as a fill-in for now.
Sure.
And those bubbles did save a little bit on ink. So you know, it helps.
I really like Chris's plan, because the hand-drawn, like the traditional aesthetic of his artwork, I think is a lot on the inks. It just looks so good. Especially that cover art. I'm so blown away by it. But for him to be able to you know, color a little bit faster and a little bit more even, I think is really going to just bring that all together.
Yeah.
And if I can add, I mean, it sounds like Christian, you're an artist as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my spare time. So yeah.
You can totally tell when you look at a comic book, I think artists can tell that's traditional, that is digital.
Yeah.
And there's, don't get me wrong, digital art looks freaking amazing. I think that made comic books nowadays, in that big growth spurt that we were talking about earlier. I think that's what that growth spurt was, because you could do some amazing things digitally.
Yeah.
But it does take away from that traditional aesthetic that Mike's talking about too. That I think a lot of people still love and enjoy, at least those of us who remember all those traditional artists back in the day. And I mean, like anything else, previous generations will die off, and we're entering into a digital world.
Yeah.
So I need to catch up with it.
Well, I wouldn't totally abandon what you're doing right now, because I mean, one of my biggest concerns, and I have other artist friends and stuff, and we chat about it. And one of the things that I love to look at is Will Eisner's The Spirit comics a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's a comic shop near us that it's kind of like an outlet comic shop. Like they sell like tons of old stuff for like really cheap, like 50 cents an issue, all these back issues. Mm-hmm. And it's like comic shops like you knew like back in the day. I don't know if it survived COVID. I haven't checked in yet, because I haven't really been going to comic shops because we're supposed to stay at home. But
yeah.
The one thing that I get worried about is that those traditional practices or things will disappear. And, you know, luckily schools and stuff are still teaching that stuff. But I look at Will Eisner's stuff, like in The Spirit. I got like this huge stack of Spirit comic books like years ago for like $20. And I got like 80 issues of like The Spirit, the Kitchen Press stuff. And I've been reading them, you know, here and there as the years have gone by. You know, I pick them up and I just look at them and I'm just astounded. Like, you did all this without any machines. You know what I mean? It's all hand done. It's all inks. It's all hand drawn. And I'm just like, me personally, as an artist, I mean, I look at that and I'm just like, oh my God, that just must have taken forever to do. And it's beautiful stuff. So I have a lot of my own opinions about digital art and the way things are going. And I know other people do too. I was just on a thing on Facebook where I was looking at Marvel. Disney has a thing on like Disney Plus. I haven't watched this particular episode yet, but it was like Marvel 616 or something. And it's like all these documentaries about behind the scenes at Marvel. And apparently this particular episode showed an artist looking at like a digital model of a character and talking about how he uses the computer for, again, I have not seen this episode, but for like reference, as far as like building a character and, you know, in 3D space and using it for perspective. And all these people on this forum were like trashing the guy and being like, this is why comics look terrible today. And this is because they're not using, like, you know, they don't know how to just draw perspective like right off the bat. And, you know, I'm reading this thing and I didn't jump into the fray because I'm smarter than that now. But I'm also like, you guys, like, that's what art is. It's copying things. That's how you learn. You look at a picture and you copy a building so that you can learn how to draw that building. And as to whether he's using a 3D model or, you know, that was one of my big mistakes as a youngster. And it really held me back for a long time, was thinking that like George Perez or John Byrne or people like that just knew how to draw buildings like right away and weren't using photography at all.
Yeah.
And you know, there probably is a point where you get comfortable and are like, oh, I know how to do this right off the bat. But you know, not everyone has that expertise, or not everyone is George Perez, or, you know.
Absolutely.
So, I'm just saying, like, to my advice to you would not to ever completely let that physical media go, because it definitely serves you. And looking at your comic, I mean, you know, it may not be necessarily as polished or as, you know, pretty as something that digital is out there, but it definitely has a characteristic of its own that stands out. And that's kind of like what's important these days, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, it would be amazing to be such a great artist that I would never need a reference ever again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've been doing figures. I remember sitting in school drawing pictures of Raiden and Sub-Zero and stuff like that, just standalone figures. That's what I did for the most part, even up until, you know, recently. I don't like doing backgrounds, and I don't like to draw trees and fences with barbed wire. It's just not something that I want to do. I want to draw a BA looking figure, heroic pose, and it looks amazing, and it, your eyes are just drawn to it. So that's what I practiced on. But don't think for a second I don't have Andrew Loomis's book on figure drawing right underneath my desk, ready to be cracked open. You know, and I'm definitely not the best at drawing things in perspective. You know, I do my best, and I don't want to be lazy with it, but I'm snapshotting all the time things that I want to put in my backgrounds, and you know, so it's like but that's exactly what it is. You know, you draw, you copy, you you know, and you learn, learn how it's done, you know. And I definitely agree with you. You know, I don't want comics to ever lose that traditional characteristic. But man, you know, if you think of like, can you believe it? Our World War One veterans, there's still a couple out there, but they're almost gone. By the time I'm probably in my late 50s, all of our World War II veterans are going to be gone. But you know, they're all complaining, man, times are changing. I remember when it used to be like this, and you know, some Neanderthal back in 1 BC would probably be thinking, I just miss my grinding bowl. Why can't we just use grinding bowls again?
You know? Yeah.
Granted, there are still grinding bowls in Walmart, but nobody really uses them. But anyway.
Well, I feel like we've talked a lot about the art, but let's talk about the writing process, since, you know, and I don't want to run out of time here. How do you approach the writing on this book? Like, how do you approach writing in general? Does your brother just come to you and be like, hey, I've got this idea, and then you start riffing?
So Chris came up with the idea, the story of Champion, and he said, okay, now you turn it into something. And so he had been talking to me about it for probably 6 months. And I had COVID, and
oh my
something
God
happened inside of my brain. and you know, the fever actually melted my brain and then burned off all of the impurities that were holding me back.
Holy cow.
Because I just, I like he said, so you're in quarantine, so freaking write something.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, Why not? And the story came to me in like a matter of seconds, and I just started writing it. But I think the trick for me is, in the process, is developing the characters and knowing who they are, like they're a real person. And then it's almost like they tell their story to you, and you're just writing stuff, and it's like, where the heck did this come from? And it's like, it's just because these people, in my mind, in my weird, psychotic, a beautiful mind, you know, like Chris was saying, like I'm seeing people walking around me that my wife and kids can't see, you know, and I know them, and they're telling me what's happened to them, and I'm just writing it down.
Yeah.
They're all my friends.
Yeah. Wow. Well, let me first say that I'm so happy that you came through COVID okay. At least I'm assuming that you're okay. It's so indicative of the times that we're living in, that you're sort of the second guest I've had on this podcast that's come through COVID. So
he's in a wheelchair now.
Oh no. Well, at least you're alive.
Because I blacked out and slipped in the shower after COVID.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm just glad that you're okay. Let me first just say that. And again, you guys have this knack of sort of like turning a negative into a positive, where you are like, I'm sick with COVID, I'm going to write my comic book, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you, and I don't mean to be preachy or whatever, but that is just a product of our faith, really, you know, because crap happens in life. Life is intrinsically crappy at times, and there's nothing you can do about it, but just decide to let it make you better.
Yeah. 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 No, that's, you know, that's a great way to look at things. I mean, that's a great way to look at life for sure. So how long did it take you to write the whole thing? Did you just bang it out like Sylvester Stallone Rocky style, or like what?
That is actually a pretty good analogy, and we will be winning an Academy Award for this.
At least an Eisner Award. You can shoot for the moon, right? Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So that would be awesome. But yeah, that's really what it was like. You know, I was down for 8 days, and I knocked out Champion issue 0.5. Mm-hmm. And then in my spare time, I'm writing Champion Volume 1, but the story's already there. It's just finding the time now that I'm not in quarantine to get it on paper. But
sure,
the story is just 100% there.
Yeah. Are you writing 3 pages a day? Because that's what you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. That's what you're supposed to do, but that's not what I'm doing. You know,
now's the time for Mike's lecture.
And I think I catch up. You know, I write on the weekends, and I'll knock out like, you know, 20 handwritten pages.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. No, I mean, you guys, I mean, this looks like a really fun book. I mean, I'm just impressed with the fact that you're doing this all by hand, because these days nobody seems to be doing that. And it's just, it gives such a different look and a different aesthetic to it. You know, and I hope this is not insulting in any way to say this, but it looks old school.
Well, you know what? Screw you, man. I like that. I like that you think that. I personally don't have many thoughts on my own artwork that are that positive. And when I do, there are some times when I finish a drawing and I'm like, Christian, you genius, you know, and then I go to post it, and then I look at everyone else's artwork and I'm like, oh, should I even post this?
Yeah.
Because there are fantastic artists out there that just kick my butt every day of the week.
Yeah. So I post his artwork on all of the Facebook, you know, comic groups, you know, indie comics on Facebook, and, you know, comic creator opportunities and stuff. And he's like, should you be doing that? Because that stands out like a sore thumb against some of this awesome artwork. And I'm like, dude, no, like I am Chris's biggest fan, because I love that traditional, like, hand-drawn artwork. It's like the difference between IKEA furniture and going into like an Amish shop and buying like an armoire or something like that. It's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Mike.
And I don't mean to say anything negative about people who do digital art, because I don't have a lick of talent other than the fact that I can, you know, I can draw, and I know what the inside of an oxygen concentrator looks like. That's it for me. You know, so anybody who could draw on any media is amazing, but Chris is the best.
Yeah.
That's it.
Like, I think Mike hit the nail right on the head. I'm the best. No answer, but.
Well, I have to say that I find your story very inspiring. And one of the reasons that I got drawn to you guys was very much like your positive attitude and how, you know, the sort of like quality of like, we're going to do this. We're going to push through. This has been our dream for a long time. And that is how a lot of things get started, right? I mean, and, you know, I think it looks like you've got like the beginnings of something that, you know, could take off.
You're 100% right. And I mean, we were talking about Sylvester Stallone earlier.
Yeah.
He'd still be doing porn videos if he didn't decide to just, let's do this, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's
yeah.
make Rocky.
Well, hopefully that is not the road that you guys go down. I don't want that for you.
Well, yeah, those would not take off, I can guarantee you.
Well, you never know. It's a weird world out there, gentlemen. It is a weird world out there. Well, you know, it's been great having you on. You guys seem to have a really positive, jovial attitude, and you know, this project looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Obviously, as of right now, it's already funded, but more money is good money. So, you know, go on Kickstarter and look up Champion, and it'll be one of the first things that comes up. And it looks like a really fun project. Do you have any final things to say about it?
Honestly, I just want to say that I love my brother so much. And he is my hero. Like, he is such a talented guy, and my dream for him is to be able to do this for his job, you know, beyond yeah. Champion, even beyond Mod Comics. If there's other writers who want to collaborate with him, he's an amazing artist. And I just want to see, Champion issue 0.5 be a validation for his talent.
Sure.
Because he deserves that.
Yeah.
You know, I can continue to write short stories and have my wife read them and tell me that they're the best thing that she's ever read, and I'll be totally happy with that, you know, but Chris deserves to be validated on his talent, and it deserves, and his talent itself as its own weird little entity, it deserves an audience in the world.
That's great.
Oh man.
Well, now Christian, you have to come up with something just as good to say about your brother.
Well, check this out.
The pressure is on.
I got it right here. a comic book artist is only as good as his writer. So for instance, if I didn't have the image written down for me, it wouldn't be there, you know? I mean, just as a little kind of behind the scenes DVD extras, you saw all of the carnival drawings in the Kickstarter. My big idea was to have it take place in a parking lot.
Oh.
And how boring would that be, you know? Like,
yeah, but easier to draw.
I mean, who wants to draw a ton of cars back to back, you know? People walking into one, that's boring. And as soon as I pitched the idea to Mike, Mike says, hey, let's do it in a carnival. And I was like, my mind just exploded, because that is so much more fun to draw, so much more interesting to look at, and for the readers.
Yeah.
You know, and Mike has always said, you know, you don't notice the writer. I disagree. I think when you read a story, a comic book story, like it gains traction. I mean, for both the artist and the writer, no one's going to stare at a picture of Spider-Man web slinging to the next building without knowing why he's doing that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that for readers of our generation, maybe the artist might've been more important, but as the years have gone by, the writer has definitely stood out. So neither one of you has to worry about what you're contributing. You're both doing a great job.
Thank you
very much.
Well, I appreciate you coming onto my podcast. I appreciate you reaching out to me. I appreciate your work. I am going to go throw some money at this morning. Again, it's on Kickstarter. It's called Champion. It's issue 0.5. My guests have been Mike and Christian Robison, not Robinson, Robison. I should work on my reading. Reading is fundamental. And my name is Christian. What's that?
Hooked on phonics.
Yeah, exactly. I got reading is fundamental riff. And my name is Christian Horn. And this has been the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. Again, go support Champion issue 0.5. It's on Kickstarter. You can check us out, Part-Time Fanboy, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that wonderful social media stuff. Our email is ptf@parttimefanboy.com. And please go support this project. You've heard, you know, Mike and Christian talk. They've got a dream. Help fulfill it. In the meantime, we will be back soon with another episode. Thank you for listening. Bye.
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 Part-Time Fanboy.
Part-Time Fanboy doing my thing.
Part-Time. Part-Time Fanboy.com.